Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
This time last week, we briefly spoke with our Australian correspondent, Bronwyn Quillen, about the brain drain of Irish teachers and nurses who are emigrating to Australia in their droves. The numbers are crazy. So we sent Brona off to speak directly with some of the teachers and nurses about the reasons why life in Australia is still so appealing to them. Brona's on the line. How are you, missus?
Good morning, Jennifer Zamparelli. How are you today?
I'm very good. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
No.
Good.
You know what, Jen? We have massive floods down here in Victoria, so I won't count my chickens too soon. There's floods everywhere here because we've had torrential rain, and believe it or not, we have snow in Tasmania, and we're only a week away from summer.
That is crazy. That is crazy. Okay,
global
well,
warming.
But it's not putting the Irish people off from going there in their droves and emigrating there, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning.
Yeah.
So, during the week, we spoke last week about some teachers just deciding to leave to go to Australia. You met a lot of them. We have a little clip here. I want people to listen to. Have a listen to some of the Irish teachers that are living in Australia. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Brian Lanigan, and I'm a secondary school teacher. One of the main reasons was not being able to keep up the cost of living in Dublin with the rent and the rising cost of living in general. I was living paycheck to paycheck in Dublin, whereas here in Australia, yeah, it's expensive, but I'm earning so much more. I actually have money to do other things except pay rent.
Hi, my name is Ciara Donlan, and I'm a primary teacher. Burnout from teaching was one of the main ones, to be honest. There is not nearly enough supports available to schools at home. I'm now working as a substitute teacher, and from what I've seen, children and educators are properly supported and valued in Australia.
The main reason I moved from Ireland to Australia was due to the cost of living in Ireland. Since COVID, prices of things like electricity, rent, fuel, groceries, everything has got more expensive, and you just can't live a good, comfortable lifestyle in Ireland on a teacher's salary at this moment in time. Here in Australia, the cost of living is higher, but the wages reflect that.
Okay, so the wages reflect that. So they all seem to be saying pretty much the same thing, Brona.
Absolutely, Jen. You know what I mean? And I think the big thing is that the pay is poor in Ireland, high cost of living with very little reward. Here, yes, absolutely, cost of living is higher, but the wages absolutely reflect that. And there's just a great work-life balance. I think when you go into any profession, and especially teachers, they don't go in it for the love of the money, okay? Because the money's not there. They go in it because they're passionate. But when they go in and they're teaching the young people of the world, which we need them for, they shouldn't feel overwhelmed on their days off. They shouldn't be worrying about, you know, not being able to meet ends meet. And that's what they're, unfortunately, what they were doing when they were in Ireland. When I went out to speak with them, you know, a couple of them did want to mention that there's this common argument, Jen, and I'm sure you've probably heard it as well, that, oh, you're teachers, you clock off at 3 o'clock, you don't do the two working days a year. They don't like that. They don't agree with that. And I can see why. And they're saying most teachers are already doing extra exam corrections. They're given grinds. They're working on the side. Anyways, they don't have time to pick up another job. So they are effectively doing that 252 working days a year like everybody else. You know, it's just, it's broken up a little differently. And so when you factor all of that in, they don't have time. I think the big attraction for teachers coming to Australia is the job satisfaction. We heard there, you know, that they were given extra time for planning. Teachers here, they're given 4 hours extra a week for planning, and that's already built into their work week. So a CRT, a casual relief teacher will come in, or a specialist, and they'll take over the class for that teacher, and they'll do X, Y, and Z. And then the teacher has the 4 hours to do up their lesson plans and make sure that they're going into the week and that everything is covered as well. And therefore, the students are getting the best out of that teacher. But I will say, Australians would say, the grass isn't always green on the other side. They've seen there's a 40% teacher shortage here. And the government is estimating a shortfall of 4,000 teachers by 2025. But I think one thing Australia has no problem in doing, unlike Ireland, is spending money on resourcing and trying to fix the issue. We've seen they've announced they're going to allocate the equivalent to 211 million euro into fixing this problem. They're, you know, they want to raise the statues of teachers. They want teacher rewards. They want recognizing skills in other areas like maths and music. They want all of that to be transferable into teaching. They also, they want to improve access to the First Nations cultural competency resources. So that's for our Aborigines and for our Torres Strait Islanders, which so important here. But overall, improving mentoring and support for teachers starting out in their career. So
okay,
I do see why they want to come down.
Yeah, and they're welcomed. They are welcome. So if I mean, this is a good time to go with the 40% teacher shortage happening. It's a good time to go if you are considering moving abroad. Let's get on to nurses. You spoke to a lot of nurses. Let's have a little listen to this.
Hi, my name is Anya. I initially emigrated from Ireland about 5 years ago. As a newly qualified nurse, I was given huge responsibility without much support and resources. Felt overwhelmed and also guilty that patients deserved more. Don't feel this in Australia, as hospitals are well staffed, patient ratios are managed well, and there's also a lot of educators and senior staff who have the time to help you progress.
Hi, my name is Ciara. I left Ireland due to the poor working conditions for nurses. I work 8 hour shifts rather than the 12 and a half hour shifts. There's a maximum of 4 patients per nurse. Abuse against healthcare workers aren't tolerated, whereas I feel like in Ireland it's tolerated.
Hi, my name is Kelly Coff. I just felt overall that nurses in general in Ireland are not appreciated or valued as much as they possibly could be. There's just more of an opportunity for a split shift, and you just have a little bit more flexibility. And it's a big issue because a lot of nurses who are my age experience burnout, which is ridiculous at such a young age, and it just doesn't seem to be the case over here.
Hi, my name is Katie and I'm a nurse working in Melbourne. Probably the most striking difference that I've seen over here is that you working as a nurse and that's all you do. So you're not a social worker or a ward clerk or any of these other jobs that are imposed upon you. When you're working as a nurse in Ireland, they just haven't addressed the crisis with the retention of the staff. We are going to continue to train Irish nurses and fantastic nurses, and they're going to continue to leave and you're going to be left with a huge gap in the system.
Brona, can I tell you my thoughts and feelings when I hear this vox pop?
Go for it.
It's bittersweet because I do feel, I was actually having this conversation last night with my dad, funny enough, when he was over watching the football. And we were talking about my nurse friends who have moved back home or moved back to the States, and nurse friends that I have. And I feel bad that they've moved away because they've been educated in Ireland and now are bringing their skills to another country when we badly need nurses and we're severely understaffed here. I wonder, you know, do some of them feel a little bit guilty that they've had to go? That nurse guilt that I know a lot of them have for whatever reason, you know, leaving their profession because they're so underpaid or moving to a different country. Or would there be an option for them, like they have to stay and work in Ireland for a certain amount of years before they go and emigrate, you know?
Well, look, I think, again, like teachers, you don't get into nursing for the money, you get into it for the love of it. And I think the biggest thing that I found from the 5 nurses that I spoke with during the week, and from every nurse I've ever spoke with, the guilt they have that they don't have the resourcing or the time to spend with the patients that they have in Ireland because they're too overrun. Like I know many nurses, and I'm sure you do too, Jen, who skip lunch breaks and who skip toilet breaks and don't drink a drop of water for 12 hours because they're
Brona, we had a nurse on last week who had a near-death experience. She was on a shift work. She was working too long and nearly crashed the car when she was going home. And this was days before another nurse in the county actually lost her life. I mean, the conditions need to change, absolutely. But it's just so sad to hear that the nurses that we've trained in this country and who love their job are leaving, and as they say, they feel they have to leave to have a better quality of life. It's so sad to hear, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And look, Jen, I will, you can take it from me, as an Irish expat, nobody wants to leave their country. I didn't want to leave Ireland either particularly, but you know, I was in my mid-20s. I found that my living situation in Dublin and everything and working 70 hours a week just wasn't, it just wasn't what I wanted, you know what I mean? So they're coming down here for a good work-life balance. And, you know, I think what's striking is that they all had more or less the same thing to say: low pay, high rents, a lack of duty of care by the HSE or whatever hospital, mm-hmm. you know, that they're working for. And of course, look, no healthcare system is perfect. No healthcare system in the world is anywhere nearby perfect. But I think Australia, look, she definitely has her problems, but she does have some of the fundamental issues right. Like abusing a healthcare worker is not tolerated here.
Yeah.
I have personally seen, when I was in A&E last year, a security man, two of them, removing an elderly woman for abusing a nurse, verbally abusing a nurse. And yeah, they just came in and they removed her from the waiting room. You know, there's just zero tolerance. Whereas when I was speaking with the nurses there during the week, they were all saying the abuse that they get, and especially psychiatric nurses or mental health nurses, they get an awful lot of abuse through one thing or another. And the psychiatric nurses said that kind of comes with the job. They kind of, you know, they get that when they're going into it, but it's what happens after. It's that lack of duty of care afterwards, mm-hmm. that's just not there for them, you know. Even the nurse to patient ratios here, they're legally protected. The ratios are one nurse to four patients, and that's for, like, you know, morning, afternoon shifts, and then one nurse to seven patients for the night shifts. On top of that, the pay is extremely enticing. Most Irish nurses, when they come over here, they'll come over working holiday visa, but they'll be a casual.
Yeah.
And so they'll get your base pay, maybe $40, $50, but or maybe $30. And then you'll get an extra 25% loading fee on top of that. And all casual workers get that.
$40 to $45 an hour.
That's what it works out at.
Okay.
And some of them are nearly up to $60. And then if you're doing, say, a bank holiday, or if you're doing a weekend night shift, you could be on time and a half or double time. So, like, I know of nurses that could come out with $800 for one night shift, you know, if it was a bank holiday weekend. You know what I mean? Like, that's a full week's pay.
You know, it's lash and rain here today, Brona. It's Monday. It's like we have weather warnings. You are going to be the reason for mass exodus of all our Irish nurses. They'll be like, oh, feck this. Who else did you speak to this week, Brona? Did you speak to a marketing company as well?
I did. So I spoke with a marketing company here. They're called Work in Oz. And well, they're on the ground between Ireland and the UK. And they are trying to entice Irish and UK workers just from all spectrums, you know, not just nurses or teachers, like from anyone, and to come over here and set up shop in Australia. And they did a survey just this year with over 1,300 people from Ireland and the UK, and the stats were big, Jen. So 7% of them said that they would leave Australia in the morning if the offer was right. 1 in 6 would consider it within the next 1 to 2 years, and 1 in 10 plan to travel to Australia within the next 2 years. So I think that data speaks loads, you know what I mean, to what I suppose young Irish people are feeling at the moment, and young UK people as well.
Brona, why did you decide to move to Australia?
Well, look, I think Australia, it's very enticing for any young person. Myself and my fiance Kelvin, we decided back in 2018 that we wanted to go. We just wanted a chance to earn good money, mm-hmm. travel the world, but essentially have a good work-life balance without having to work 70 hours a week. And we are so fortunate that we're able to do that. We're very fortunate that, you know, our circumstances at home, we had nobody depending on us, and our parents, both families were very, very encouraging. They're like, go spread your wings and we'll come back to us at some stage, you know. But I think my fear is at the moment, I'm seeing loads of Irish people coming over, mm-hmm. but they're all looking for sponsorship. They all want to stay at least 2 to 4 years. And some of them are even talking about permanent residency and citizenship. So it is quite worrying, I think, for the Irish economy. I think we are going to see a massive brain drain in people under 30 within the next 12 to 18 months. But look, hopefully the Irish government might, who knows, some minister might be listening to this report, Jen.
They know about this report.
They do.
Before, like, they know what's going on, but are they going to do anything about it? Brona, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. There we go. That is Brona, our Australian correspondent, speaking with us this morning about why nurses and teachers are emigrating from these shores to Australia. Are you thinking about doing it yourself? I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to get in touch. 51552.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.